abounds to me.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your message would just come through to each and every one of us this morning. Father, my prayer is that I would just be a vessel of use for you today. Father, that we wouldn't be distracted, we wouldn't be in a hurry, but Lord, that our ears would be so attentive to what you have to speak to each one of us individually. Lord, may you take away any distractions, any worries, any cares right now. May our soul focus be upon hearing your voice in each and every one of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nolan was waving at everybody, and nobody's waving back as they was walking off the stage. Hi, Nolan. today's message, it's titled, What Are You Truly Seeking? And I hope I can do justice to what the Lord's been repeatedly showing me this week. The first verse that I would like to begin with is Jeremiah 29:13. And it says, You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, how many of us say, I don't hear God's voice? I've been there. In circumstances and situations, you prayed about stuff and you prayed about stuff and you're like, it's just like I'm not getting an answer. I'm not hearing from the Lord. And I often wonder when we're in those situations, are we really seeking Him with all of our heart? You know, we're so divided in our lives, aren't we? We have some here that you work and then you're a dad, and then you may have a farm and you have other responsibilities. Some we have moms here and you work and then you got to take care of the kids and you may clean the house or cook dinner, and then, you know, we have some that are retired here and you're just, you know, enjoying life, but you can get busy doing all sorts of things, and it's so easy to feel like you're getting pulled in different directions and be so busy, and to truly say, God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to find you, and to seek him with all your heart and not a divided heart, and be seeking him with a passion and a desire. God, please, I need to hear from you in this circumstance. I need to hear from you in this situation. And so I, even on Sundays, and when we come to church on Sundays, what are you truly seeking today? Why are you here? Are you hoping for a good song and a decent sermon and maybe a joke or two, and then you can be on your way to your everyday life? What are you really seeking this morning? Matthew 5:8 says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So we seek God with all of our heart, and blessed are pure in heart, for they will see God. Where's your heart at this morning? Do you have a divided heart? Are you truly seeking God out of a pure heart? And God, I want to know you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to know your voice. I want to see you in action in my life. I want to feel your presence. I want to know that you're guiding me in everything. What is really your motive today of why you're here? And I think for many of us, I don't know if we can truly say that we're here with a pure heart, that we're here with an undivided heart, that we're here to hear God today, that we're here to hear God's voice today. If you want to open up to Matthew 12, then we're going to go to 16 in just a few minutes. But some of the people that were seeking Jesus, and so that's the whole thing today, is are we seeking Him out of a pure heart? Or are we seeking Him for other reasons? And in Matthew 12, verse 38, and y'all, I've got to confess that I said it would never happen to me, but my eyesight's going. And I don't know how many of you noticed last week, I was really struggling with reading, but I don't want to get rid of my Bible, because I love my Bible, and some of the newer versions, I don't like the way they're worded. So either I'm going to have to get a magnifying glass or a little lamp up here, because I can see when it's lit. We can put new light bulbs above it, but if I'm struggling, I'm sorry. If I struggle too much, you're going to see me with glasses, or I'm just going to start pointing you out. Hey, Peter, will you read this verse? Casey, will you read that verse? verse, and then I, you know, we'll go like that on Wednesday nights. No, but we're in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. It said, "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you.' He answered, 'Listen, a wicked an adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" What were they saying? Give us something. Give us a sign. Give us a miracle. Let us see. You prove yourself to us. You prove who you are. Show us by your miracles. Show us by your signs. We want to see something here. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were seeking miracles. They were seeking signs. Jump over to 16, chapter 16 in Matthew still, verse 1. And here it is again. "The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested Him by asking Him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, 'When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generations look for miraculous signs, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah.' Jesus then left them and went away." I'm honestly going somewhere with all this, okay? They were seeking signs. They were seeking wonders. They were seeking miracles. They said, "Prove yourself. Let us see what's going on here." They were looking for the excitement. They wanted to get all stirred up. Did you see that? Did you see that miracle? Did you see what's going on there? And the excitement that followed when Jesus had performed miracles, the excitement followed and word spread. So they're saying, "Come, let us see this, Jesus. Let us see what you're really made of here." John 6:26, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Okay, so there's a different group. They weren't looking for the signs and wonders. He'd fed them, right? He says, you're coming after me because I gave you food. There's people today, and I believe very much that they're looking for the excitement. They're looking for the miraculous. They're looking for signs and wonders. There's other people today that's looking for, I'll just say it, a handout. Y'all, this church will help anybody. I guarantee you, we'll help anybody. We've helped people we don't know. We've helped people in the church. We'll help anybody. We love to help people. We believe that God has made this church to be a funnel. And whatever comes in, we want it to go out to help missions, to help the working man, to help the working families. And sometimes people get in need and sometimes need a helping hand. Sometimes they fall on hard times. We've all been there at different stages. We want to help people. And if you're here today and you need help, please let me know. I promise you, we will blow your doors off with how much love we're going to show you. Because that's the way this church body is. We want to help. But we've had people that didn't come seeking God, that have just come seeking help. Okay, fine. We're still going to help you because we want to show you the love of God. I hope I can say this right. Lord, help me. But there comes a point that if that's all you're after, something's wrong. Does that make sense? When all you're doing is standing there with your hand out and you're saying, "Give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy." Instead of, "God, I'm seeking you and it's a hard time. Give me direction and thank God for my family that's here to help me through this rough time." We want to be that family. We want to help you. But Jesus even told him, "You're not seeking me for the right reasons. You're seeking me because you had your fill. You're seeking me because you had a physical need met." And how many people today are bouncing from church to church to church? I'm not just talking about people saying, "Give me, fill up my tank of gas. Give me groceries." I'm talking about businessmen that go to certain churches because they know it will give them contacts to build their business. I know salesmen that choose the largest church. Why? Because it has the most people that are potential clients. It's not just the handout. It's, why are you here? What are you seeking? Are you seeking after physical needs, whether it's growing your business, you make the right contacts, you make the right people, just like a country club? Why are you here? Why are you seeking the Lord? Some sought the miraculous signs from Jesus. Some were seeking because they had their fill in bread. Today, you know what I believe? That many are coming to church for entertainment purpose. It's to be entertained. It's to have some friends. It's to meet some people, and we want to be entertained. I always use this story when I talk about entertainment. Many of you probably have never seen the movie, but there's a movie from the early 90s called Pure Country. It was George Strait was in it. Anybody seen that movie? Okay, some of y'all's nodding your heads. And in that movie, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, but it seems like the drummer tells the lead singer about a carnival and this dancing chicken, and said when you look behind the screen, that the guy was turning up the heat and there was a hot plate actually under the stage or something, and it would make that chicken jump and dance because it was a dancing chicken is what the carnival was the attraction, but it was just a hot plate making the chicken jump. And I don't want to be a dancing chicken up here is what I'm saying. I don't want to be entertainment. In 2 Timothy 3, it talks about in the last days that men will be lovers of pleasure. What is pleasure? It's entertainment. It's to be entertained. It's and how many of us like to be entertained? I do. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I get on Crystal's nerves because I always have to have music going or something going. It's like I don't like quiet. I like to be entertained at all times. And when I looked up the definition of entertain or to be an entertainer, it's to show hospitality. Okay, that's really nice. Like, that's a good thing, right? If you want to show hospitality, I want to show hospitality to all of y'all. But then the second part of the definition of an entertainer is to provide entertainment for. And so, well, then you look at what entertainment means, and it's amusement to provide an escape, and a performer, a diversion. And so it's basically a diversion. It's to divert you from reality. So, right? I mean, you watch a movie, what are you doing? You're escaping reality for a minute, right? You're looking at that show, you're looking at that entertainment, and you watch a television program, it's to escape reality for a moment. You go to an amusement park, it's to escape reality. When we go on vacation to the beach, it's my favorite vacation of all. You know why? Because I do nothing. I bore people to death because I'm always busy in life. It's like I'm always busy, so it's like it's so nice to go for a week and do absolutely nothing but stare at waves crashing in and eat. And I do eat a lot when I'm on vacation. And that's my favorite thing to do. Why? Because I'm escaping reality for a minute. My entertainment is watching the ocean waves crash and eating a Krispy Kreme donut. I mean, that's pretty much, it's like, that's paradise, you know? But it's to escape reality for a minute. And that's what entertainment is. And it's the amusement. When you look up the definition for a diversion, it says to get your mind off problems. So here it is. And okay, we're to seek God out of a pure heart. We're to seek God with all of our heart. The Pharisees and the teachers, they want miraculous signs. The others came for food and for what they could be given. How many of us today are here for entertainment? How many of us today are lovers of pleasure and that entertainment? And here's where this all began, okay? So last week, I'm just going to come down here and talk to y'all for a minute. Last week, I knew we had some guests coming. And I really, some ways I like to know if someone's coming. But then other ways I don't like to know, because I don't prepare sermons months ahead. It's what the Lord gives me that week is what I preach. I mean, that's pretty much it. There's been a few times since I've been preaching here for 16 years that I've had a whole series that's maybe lasted several weeks. But most of the time, it's whatever the Lord gives me. So last week, any of you that was here, it was about us to never stop learning. We're to continue to learn. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you're to continue to learn. And I was thinking, this message isn't very exciting. I don't have any funny stories to go along with it, and we've got these guests coming. And then it turns out we had a whole bunch more guests than what I even realized was coming, and I was getting nervous, and I was getting like, and my wife, I was telling her about it, and she says, "Pete, you're not there to entertain us." She's right. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to give you what God has spoke to me. Period. And maybe some messages will hit you and they'll get you excited. Some messages will convict you, hopefully, and say there's areas in my life I need improvement on. Some messages, hopefully, they will make you laugh and make you enjoy being here. We're to have joy. We're to laugh. But I'm not a dancing chicken up here for entertainment. And my wife was very right in telling me that quit being so worried about it. Why? Because it's really, it boils down to pride. You want to have a good message? You want to, you know, pride? I want the church to be full for the guests to see. Look at how good our church is doing. It's all pride. Get rid of all that garbage and listen to what God's given you. And so I preached what God gave me. But then it goes on. So that was last weekend. And I know the order. Then later, in the beginning of the week, I'm flipping radio stations. And like I told y'all, most of the time I listen to preaching all morning. And afternoons, I jump all around. I listen to sports radio. I listen to different things sometimes. And I just happened to stop for a second as the radio was scanning on a sports radio station. It's out of Oklahoma. I don't normally listen to Oklahoma radio for sports. I'm sorry for any of you Oklahoma fans. It's the last station I want to listen to. But that guy actually was talking about going to church. So I didn't hit skip right away. I sat there and listened for a second. And he was talking about he and his wife going to this very large church in New York. I won't say the name of it or anything. And he said that people was lined up around the block to get into this church. And he said the speaker was fantastic. He says he was so charismatic. Said, man, he kept your attention. It was so good. The music was more like a concert. And he said it was just awesome. But he said, I seen that people had become more concerned about the preacher than seeking God. And he said, any time you become more about... This is the sportscaster doing sports radio saying this. And he says, any time you become... You put a man on a pedestal and you become more about seeking that man and hearing that man than you do God, it's a recipe for disaster. And this church has failed. It fell apart. I'm not going to talk bad about it. But okay, so... It goes right along with what my wife said. I'm not an entertainer. And if we're seeking entertainment and we're seeking a person, we're going to fail. But when we're seeking the Lord, when we're seeking God out of a pure heart, when we're seeking God with all of our heart, we're going to hear from the Lord. We're gonna see Him. And then if I mess up because I can't see a word and I pronounce it wrong, I get... tongue-tied and spit a little bit, or I make you laugh, or you're trying not to fall asleep. It doesn't depend upon me. I have a responsibility to preach the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And you have a responsibility when you come in here that you're not coming to hear Pete, that you're coming to hear God, that you're not coming to hear entertainment, that you're coming to hear God's voice in your life. Ephesians 4:11. My eyes got to get adjusted here. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. Can I tell you something? When we become about men, we're leaving our lives open for to be taken advantage of. We leave our lives open for the deceitful schemingness of people. Because men will disappoint you. I will disappoint you. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. This is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When I read this and I think of all the gifts that God has given, all the things that God's given, and when I think when we're the immature are chasing after the food, the immature are chasing after the entertainment, the immature are chasing after the signs and wonders and miracles, that if we're not careful, we can be tricked, deceived. When we begin to chase after people, when we begin to chase after man. But also in this it says what all God has given, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. We got into this on our Wednesday night two or three weeks ago. And I believe very much that God's called me to be the pastor of this church. I've told y'all before that if I'm ever not the pastor here, I'll probably be sitting down there because you guys are my family. I mean, it would really have to be the voice of God saying, go somewhere else. This is where God's planted me. And if I'm not the preacher, I'm going to be here sitting and listening with you, more than likely. So I feel like I am your pastor. And when you look up the definition to the pastor, it's a shepherd. And when you break down what a shepherd is, well, first of all, Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Jesus Christ is all of our shepherd, right? I'm not Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is He is the good shepherd. But right here we read that He has given some to be pastors. When you look up the definition of pastor, it is a shepherd. And when you look at what a shepherd did in those days, his responsibility in the biblical times was to keep the flock intact, it was to protect the flock, and it was to guide the flock. So as your pastor, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to try and keep us intact. Have I always done a good job with that? No. We've had some people leave, and I feel like they should have never left, and I hate it. I tried, and they've still chose to leave, and that's, you know, I can improve as a pastor. But nowhere in the definition for the pastor does it say an entertainer. It doesn't say a dancing chicken. It doesn't say he needs to have two jokes, 3 points, and make me leave feeling better about myself. That's nowhere in there. My responsibility is to keep the flock intact, protect it, and guide it. I believe, and we talked about this in our men's meeting, I believe Tim is a teacher, and God's given him the gift of teaching. and I believe you want to grow deeper in your knowledge of the Word of God. Yes, I'm a teacher too, but I believe that, you know, there's others in our church that's better equipped than me at that. And that's okay. That's okay. Just like at a job, you have some that's better welders than others. You have some that's you know, maybe better at this job than that job. We all have different gifts, and that's the way the church is to function, and that's the way the church should be. But nowhere in this does it say entertainment. So, got a couple more things here. Jeremiah 23, and this is what a warning to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pastures, declares the Lord. Can I tell you something? Some of these big churches, some of these popular pastors, we need to be praying for them, because you know Satan's hitting them with everything he's got. Why? Because if he can cause that person to fall, look at how many people it's affecting. So we don't need to be like standing here, I can't believe that, and judging them. We need to be praying for them. But also, those shepherds of those large mega churches need to be really careful. Are they destroying? Are they scattering? Are they causing division? Are they shaming the name of the Lord? Verse 2, therefore this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people, because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. And then here it is, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Jesus is a good shepherd. He places shepherds here now, pastors, to tend the flock. The last thing. So Crystal tells me that last week about you're not an entertainer. Sports radio guy talking about a church getting so big and it becoming more about the preacher instead of about seeking God. And I don't remember the order of this last one, but I had a very vivid dream. And you guys can take dreams for whatever you think. But it's just crazy, this dream I had. So I had a dream that I'm in a very, very big church. Very big church. And I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. And I look out and everybody's laughing. Everybody's having a great time. And behind me, there's the pulpit was all glass windows, and it was I don't know if it was an ocean or a big lake. I don't know. I think it was the ocean, but I'm not sure. And I'm preaching to all these people, and they're all laughing and having a wonderful time, and the church is packed out. It's like probably six times the size of this church. And I began to weep. And I run out the back doors. There was a door beside the glass. And these guys, I didn't recognize them, but they was young, handsome men run out. And I guess they were part of the elders or the leadership. I don't know, because they're surrounding me and I'm just crying and they're all laughing. And they're saying, what's wrong with you? And I said, nobody is truly seeking God. Nobody in that church is truly seeking God. I don't know what the dream meant, but to me, what it says to me is, you can build a church with entertainment. We can do all the great and wonderful things. We can bring in all the right people, put them in the right positions. You can find platforms. You can find ways that they will tell you how to grow your church. You can do certain things to manipulate and grow the church. But what are you growing the church with? Is it people that's really seeking God out of a pure heart? Is it people really seeking God with all their heart to know Him more? Now, I'm not talking about evangelism. I'm not talking about the lost coworker, the person you run into at Walmart and you invite them to church. They need Jesus, okay? They need Jesus. And we want to invite those people in. But y'all, we don't want to just become all about entertainment to grow numbers and to get the people here so they can leave feeling all happy and joyful. But there's never a change in their life. There's never repentance. There's never a confrontation with the Lord of saying, I've sinned. I need a Savior. God, I need to change direction in my life. God, I need to get that out of my life. Because we're all full of joy and happiness, and God blesses you, and God loves you, and God blesses you, and God loves you. So to me, I want to end with Revelation chapter 2. It says these, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds. You're hard working and you've persevered. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. That's great. That's what I would be excited if I knew the Lord was saying that to us. Man, you're persevering, you're not growing weary, you're finding out the false teachers. But verse 4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I can't answer this for you. I can only answer it for me. Is your heart far from God today? Are you here because it's Sunday and that's what you do? Are you here because your friends invited you and you don't want to let them down? Are you here because of me? Thank you, but I'll disappoint you. Are you here because of the music and the worship? That's great, but are you here because this is where God's called you to, so that we can build up a body of believers and build up in unity and build up in faith and grow in our walk with God and lead others to Christ and invite them in, that they can be part of the family and that they can repent and turn from their sins because they're growing, because they're seeking you, or because they're seeking the Lord, not seeking after some person, not seeking after something. Does this make sense to anybody today? He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And today, if you're seeking the Lord, fantastic. I'm so glad you're here. But if you're here for any other reason, this is the time to ask God to forgive you. This is the time to pray to God. God, help me to go back to where I used to be. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Do the things that you did at first. You go back to, man, when you were so excited to share the gospel, when you were so excited to read the Bible, when you were so excited to just have time alone and pray with the Lord. And if you've never been there, then maybe this is the day that you say, God, help me to get there. Because I'm so busy with life. I'm so busy with my kids. I'm so busy with my job. I'm so busy with this. I'm so busy with that. God, it's like I never have time for you. My Sunday morning hour is your time. The rest of the week is, I'm just so busy. And maybe this would be the day that you would just cry out and say, God, help me. Help me to seek you with all my heart and to seek you with a pure heart so that I can see you and be with you and have that relationship with you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your correction in my own life, Lord. The times that I become prideful. The times that I think it's about me when it's not. Lord, if there's any in here today that we really haven't been seeking you with all of our heart, we really haven't been seeking you from a pure heart, Lord, that right now we'd ask you to forgive us. and that we would begin to seek You like we never have before, Lord. That we would begin to look unto You, Father, for guidance, for wisdom. Lord, if we've come here for entertainment, if we've come here for any other reason, Lord, other than to hear Your voice, may You forgive us of that now. May Your will be done with every life here now. Especially with mine, Lord. May Your will be done. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee.
That I will tell y'all that, you know, and listen to all the preachers that I listen to, and I listen to, I believe, some of the most anointed godly men in our entire world, and man, they're passionate and good, but there's some days that I'm just so bored and my mind drifts, and it's like, it's not the preacher's fault, it's my fault. Because I'm not really seeking God. I'm just listening to another sermon, listening to another thing. And so I examine myself and go, why am I not? Well, it's because I've got a divided heart that day. I'm not really seeking the Lord. I think about in the Old Testament and how they would open up the book of laws. And what would they do? They would read all day. Could y'all imagine if we started at sun up here, me reading the Bible to you, and we stayed till that evening? I bet 95% of you'd be asleep. I mean, and I, you know what? I'd be asleep myself. Like that's, but now if you were given the diagnosis of a terminal illness, and they said, but if you do this and this and this and this and this and this, and this, and this, and this, it's going to save your life. You're going to be listening intently, right? You're going to be listening to everything that doctor says. If he says, you're going to die if you don't do this, I'm going to be hanging on every word he says. You know what? I'm probably going to even record it so I can go home and listen to it again and listen to it again. We've all been given a death sentence. Every one of us. Nobody in here is going to escape it. But we have the answer to eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. It's right here. Why are we not listening intently and seeking everything that the Lord has to say to us? how to live our lives, how to conduct our business, how to be a man and woman of God. I hope for myself and for every one of us that we will really take this message to heart and begin to seek the Lord with everything in us. And I promise I'm going to do my best to my ability and with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a good pastor and to not put you to sleep. But the main function of my job is to lead you in the way of righteousness and point you to Jesus Christ, and to protect you when I see the enemy coming and when I see the enemy getting into your life, to try and correct you and get you back on the right path. And people don't like that. They don't want to hear it. Who are you to tell me what to do? But it's because I love you. It's because I love you that much. You guys have a fantastic day off tomorrow. I hope everybody gets a day off. I know some places I deliver to happen to work tomorrow. But if you're off, I hope you enjoy the day. Get to spend some quality time resting. That's what I'm planning on doing. No men's meeting this week. Lord willing, we will see you next Sunday.